Welcome to The Ground Truth, a Cybercrime Magazine podcast series brought to you by ExtraHop, a cyber analytics and security provider specializing in cloud-native network detection and response for hybrid enterprises. To learn more about ExtraHop, visit extrahop.com. I'm your host, Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Here with me today is Mark Bowling, VP of Security Response Services at ExtraHop. Welcome back, Mark. It's so great to have you with us again.
Thank you very much, Hillary. It's great to be back. I'm honored to be back again.
Yes, I'm excited to talk about advanced threats with you today, because that's kind of our topic for the day, for this episode, and discussing building response strategy to advanced threats. So I guess to start off, to rewind a little bit, how would you define advanced threats?
So let's talk about advanced threats. This is something that I've had to deal with for many years when I was in the FBI, because, well, I'm going to use the term advanced persistent threat. If you go out on the internet and Google APT, that's what'll come up. And then maybe you can get a list of these really cool code names that the intelligence community and our critical infrastructures give to the Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians and even the North Koreans who are trying to engage in this. But the advanced persistent threat is not exclusively geopolitical, but I won't go down that rabbit hole. So we're talking about response to advanced persistent threats. So I think I talked about respond as a family of critical control functions. It is how you address something that's anomalous behavior in your network. And Respond is also mentioned, of course, in the Center for Internet Security Critical Security Controls and in the ISO 27110 standard. But let's talk about the APT. So in the context of advanced threats, we use the term advanced persistent threat. It is also called APT. It's kind of shortened for the purpose of chatting about it. But the APT refers to a determined, well-equipped, and well-funded adversary who has the ability to compromise a target system, and not just to target a system, but also to target it at all layers of what's known as the OSI model. The OSI model breaks down computer or network communications into seven layers or seven levels. Each of those layers has characteristics that provide opportunities for our adversary to compromise our systems. Thus, any security model, any implementation, any security posture must address the protection of your networks and your systems and your data at each layer of the OSI model. That's one of the things that I find to be remarkable and amazing about ExtraHop NDR. Network detection and response. It has the ability to identify, capture, analyze, and present data between layers 2 and layer 7, the data link layer, the internet layer, the transport control layer, session, application, and presentation data. We're not just looking at internet protocol data or transport control protocol data the way some of the open source systems do. We're in fact looking at session, application, and presentation data also. And what that does is that empowers ExtraHop NDR to identify the threats across all of those layers.
And so by their very nature, advanced threats breed a lot of uncertainty. So how do you build a strategy when you know very little about what has happened?
So I believe there's three parts of any strategy. And the first one is to understand, what do you expect as normal? What is normal in your environment? You cannot detect something in your environment unless you know what is normal in your environment, because you don't have a baseline against which to match it, to compare it. You can't do a side-by-side comparison if you don't know what is right. So the first thing I would do is understand what is in your environment. You want to identify what is in your environment. Remember, identify was one of those function families or control families that is part of the NIST cybersecurity framework. Know what it should be there so you can identify what should not be there. The second part of the strategy, as well, is having knowledge about your environment. You need to have an understanding of what your capabilities are. So back in the 60s, when we were first pushing, I'm going to say spy satellites, we would call it now SIGINT, signal intelligence, or VISINT, visible intelligence. But so you have satellites in orbit. Those satellites see things now in the 21st century that we did not see in the 1960s. So you have to understand, what can you see? So what should be normal? What can you see? And once again, I sound like a broken record, but one of the things that I love about ExtraHop is that it allows you to see a lot of things. And finally, how are you equipped to respond? Okay. So you know what is normal. You know what should be there because you're watching it. And then finally, how am I equipped to respond? And once again, that's what you have with network detection and response. You're equipped to respond better. Now, one of the things in the past that maybe was missing from the ExtraHop portfolio was the ability to help our customers respond. And that's one of the things I've been brought in to do, is to help put together a security response strategy, a security response offering. But you have to have a response strategy. And I'm not going to say your response strategy needs to be call ExtraHop. Your response strategy needs to be appropriate for your enterprise. And your enterprise needs to identify what is your critical information. You need to identify what are your regulatory frameworks. That is, what do you need to protect? So if you are a hospital, you need to protect the confidentiality of your critical, of your patient information. It's called EPHI, electronic private health information. And so know what you need to protect as part of your response. Know what data you have as part of your identification, and know where that data is as part of your visibility into your networks. So just to recap it, your strategy needs to involve knowing what you have and need to protect. How are we going to keep an eye on it? What does our visibility look like? And then once we see something out of band, how are we going to respond as an enterprise to protect that data?
And so in a former episode that we recorded together, you talked about the importance of preparation. So how would you advise an organization to prepare for advanced threats?
So the first thing I would do, and it's critical security control 1 and 2 for the Center for Internet Security, know your systems. What are your systems? What is your hardware? Identify all your hardware. Know your applications and software, and then know your data. You need to know all of those things so that if you can identify if the wrong software is on your network, you can say, hey, that doesn't look right. If you have a system on your network that's transmitting large amounts of data and it's not a system that's designed or intended to hold large amounts of data, then that would be a problem. You have to identify and know your system. I'm going to use the military analogy again, and that's, you need to understand your battlefield. The cybersecurity space has become a virtual battlefield. And that battlefield, you need to understand the lay of the land. You need to understand what are the critical hills you need to hold. Where's the high ground you need to hold so you have great visibility of the battlefield? And so I would say you need the most important task that any cybersecurity organization needs to do first is to identify all their systems. That's called an asset inventory. You need to have a physical asset inventory. You need to have a software and application asset inventory, and you need to have a data inventory. The second thing that any network needs to, that any organization, cybersecurity organization needs to do to prepare for advanced threats is to have a process for what I call configuration management. That's a very broad term, but they need to know how are each of their systems configured so that if something changes, if behavior changes, they have an understanding why it may have changed. And that involves what I call vulnerability management. Configuration management involves patch management. Configuration management involves change management. What is our process for introducing change into our network? Let me give you an example. I want you to think of a new application or a new revision that's being pushed out to an existing application in your network. When you push that revision out, that change, that patch may impact negatively the cybersecurity settings that you have on that application. Think of a printer. Printers can provide an amazingly effective backdoor into a network. Well, let's say that you have a patch, you have an update that you need to push to the printer. You push the update to the printer, and guess what? When that printer updated, you may have disabled security settings on the printer. That printer on Monday was locked down. On Tuesday, the patch comes out, and on Wednesday morning, because that patch was implemented at 10:30 that night, guess what? That printer is now more vulnerable. And so configuration management involves patch management, it involves change management, it involves vulnerability management. And that is a critical task in any network because, frankly, most of the opportunities that the APT uses to compromise a network are usually through known vulnerabilities that could have been patched. And I would say the third big step that any organization needs to do to prepare for advanced threats is to have a mindset of how do we manage what I call contingent circumstances. There's a term called contingency planning, and contingency planning involves business continuity planning. It involves disaster recovery planning. It also involves incident response planning. But all enterprises need to get their heads around contingency planning, because if you don't have a contingency plan, you're going to be in a state of perpetual panic when you are compromised by the advanced persistent threat.
And when the news comes out that an advanced threat is nation state sponsored, some people throw up their hands in defeat. So what would you say to those people?
So, Hillary, I think it is always important to do what I call fight the good fight. I think you play all the way to the end of the fourth quarter. I think that if you are running a marathon, you do not leave at mile 22 because your left calf is starting to cramp up. And I don't want this to be a rah-rah speech. I don't want this to sound like, you know, Patton at the beginning of that, you know, his movie. What I want to say is that there are, if you work for an enterprise, okay, that enterprise has people who work there. They have jobs. Those jobs are their family's livelihood. Oh, we don't throw up our hands in defeat. You know what we do? We roll up our sleeves and we respond to the intrusion, and then we recover the network. And as we recover the network, we document lessons learned, and then we get better the next time. And so I hate the concept of throwing up our hands in defeat just because somebody else has a lot of resources, just because somebody else has made a geopolitical decision. When I say somebody else, I mean our adversaries. Just because our adversaries have made a geopolitical decision to try to target our financial services or to target our critical electrical power distribution infrastructure or to target our healthcare infrastructure. So here's what I would say to those people who want to throw up their hands in the feet. I would say, take your hands down, take a real deep breath, and then make a decision to get better. You know, I I have sons who are athletes. I competed at the collegiate level. And I firmly believe that every time you lose a contest, you learn something that helps you get better so that you can win the next one. So yeah, we may have faced a defeat. We may have faced a compromise. We may have lost information. We may have lost capability. We may have lost our availability to deliver services. But guess what? We can get better next time. And guess what? This is cybersecurity is a war of attrition. The more we make it difficult for our advanced adversaries, our nation state adversaries, to compromise our network, the stronger we become as a whole, because then they have to waste more and more and more resources to try to compromise our networks and our systems.
Excellent. Well, Mark, as always, such a great conversation. Thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Oh, thank you very, very much. And it is always great talking to you, Hillary.
You too, Mark. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. The Ground Truth is brought to you by ExtraHop, a cyber analytics and security provider specializing in cloud-native network detection and response for hybrid enterprises. To learn more about our sponsor, ExtraHop, visit extrahop.com. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.